life thing that we do, as I mean, you probably are all aware of. But it all happened just kind of, I don't know, not accidentally necessarily, but kind of just as we went learning. We're still learning and still trying to figure out some things. And Matt Durbin's behind the mic. He's the sound guy. So if it works well, it's his fault. If it doesn't work well, it's my fault. So we'll just take it from there.
And the good news is I just turned down my phone, so it might not go off in the middle of us discussing.
You know, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea, yeah.
Although I'm going to say there are several ways to contact, you know, there you go. There are several ways to contact us, one of which is my phone, but I'll keep it up so I can see it. My cell number is 812-620-4034. That's one avenue you have to contact us. Theron Hall's also set up a website called letthebiblespeak.faith. You can go to that website, and he's uploaded all of our talks on there. You can listen to those past shows if you would so desire to do that. You can also go to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak Facebook page and make comments on there live today. If you want to ask a question, make a comment, or suggest questions for the show or whatever.
Yeah.
If you have questions, we'll be glad to address those. And we'll try to, the last time I was on, somebody was making some comments, and I didn't see them until after the show.
Yeah.
And so that I don't want to, hopefully we can keep track of that. We don't want to close anybody off. And the number for the station is 812-365-9864. It's 812-365-9864. You can probably call in. We can get you on here, at least get the phone call and get answers answered quickly if we can. There's also a Listen to My Radio app, which I don't know a lot of people use now that we've done their Facebook live thing, but you can go to Listen to My Radio, upload the WBRO radio station, and listen from anywhere pretty much you want to listen to that. So lots of options. But anyway, this is today we're going to talk about 2 Kings chapter 5 and Naaman, according to what John said.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I don't, people don't need to know anything else about me, but if they're new to you, why don't you tell us about you? I see your advertisement for the Eastland Church of Christ on your shirt there.
There you go.
That's nice.
Hey, is this reading the right way or is it backwards?
It's a straight.
It's straight. All right. Good, good, good.
Otherwise, it'd be
no telling what was that. That's right. And that's always, you know, half the question, which way is
indeed.
I'm John Bingham, and I am one of the shepherds at the Eastland Church of Christ over in Louisville, Kentucky, which is the congregation where Matt is also working with us. And so Matt's with us today as well. Thank you, Matt, for all your help behind the scenes to make this even possible.
Absolutely.
That's right. And so I've done this a few times with you. Yep. You make it really easy for us to have the conversation, so enjoy the opportunity to be back over here this morning. And what ended up happening was I reached out to Scott early this week, and I said,
which
hey!
Doesn't usually happen, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Guest on here, but
that's right.
Go ahead, I interrupted you.
No, that's all right. I said, hey, do you have anybody already lined up, or can we talk Naaman? Because one of our preachers at Eastland ended up doing a lesson on Naaman in this passage here. And so I was like, hey, while it's still fresh in my mind, we can kind of talk through some of the things. And I'm going to borrow a few of the ideas that he had. Chris was focusing on attitudes and whether or not they're good or bad attitudes at various points in this.
Yeah.
And so we can look at this passage and look at it from the perspective of attitudes, but then also just get the overall picture of things and how it could apply to us today with the New Testament and those types of things. The benefit we have is Chris had half an hour to squeeze in whatever points he wanted to make. We've got 55 minutes still, so
which we will still run out of time.
Oh yeah, we will, but we may go on a couple extra tangents along the way.
That's all right. I do want to say too, if you're out there and you want a Bible study, or no matter where you are, if you contact me, I'll find somebody. If you're in Crawford County, call me. Since I'm not working at a Bethel anymore, I've got more time. And evenings, we can study. Summer's coming. I'm a school teacher. I'll have my summers off, so we can study then. If you are in Louisville, I can get you to John, or somebody over there. Yeah. I know people in probably 10 churches over there that will be glad, no matter what part of Louisville you're in, French Lick, any Orange County, I'll find you somebody to study with. You let me know what you want and what you need. New Salisbury, Corydon, I've got it covered. I can't do it all, but I know people who can do it, you know, wherever you are.
Right.
Oregon, Florida, let me know. I'll find you somebody.
Yeah.
But yeah, get your Bibles out this morning, read along with us, and if we're going to talk about attitudes, the first attitude that we need to have is just, the point of the show is that we just be sincere with the Scriptures.
Right.
And when you approach them, you take the veils out of whatever you've learned before, take the veil from in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
And just read the Bible and accept it for what it says.
And let the Bible speak.
And that, well, there you go.
That'd
be a good name for a show or something.
That would be a good name for a show.
So anyway, it's just that attitude is absolutely essential to understanding what God has said to us. And He wants us to know what He has said to us.
Right.
By the way, Kim Smith, John is on my right, so I can see him.
Yes.
She was concerned that I was sitting on the other side of people and I couldn't see him, so I switched that up.
I think he's afraid he has to keep an eye on me, you know.
No,
there you go.
Who was on last time with me? Can't remember. Anyway, yeah. I also set them over there.
All right.
We're good.
All right,
let's get in 2 Kings chapter 5.
2 Kings chapter 5. Let's just take a verse or two at a time and react to it as
what version are you reading?
I'm reading out of the New King James Version.
All right, I've got the English Standard, so.
Well, forgive you.
If you're out there and you're reading from a little bit different version,
yeah,
that's fine. I just like to know some things are Theron Hollitzer, the translation specific.
Yeah.
Some words, so we can, if something about that comes up.
Actually, it is good that we do have two different versions so that there can be a comparison go on whenever we need. That's great. That's great. So 2 Kings chapter 5 introduces an interesting new character. First time, only time mentioned as far as the Old Testament is concerned. And so it starts out, verse 1, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper."
I underline the word "but" there.
Yeah.
But all those great things.
Right.
But.
Right.
So what did being a leper mean to these people back then?
It was a death sentence.
Yeah.
It was a painful, slow, I mean, you were on death row just by existence, and you ended up losing everything that you ever had. So you were talking about his greatness. His greatness was now stopped because he was a leper and had to be an outcast in society all of a sudden. Yeah.
And it's interesting as we read on how his king reacts to his request.
Yeah.
And how he feels about this man.
Right.
It's really, I mean, there's a good relationship here with these two people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And what's interesting is we're talking about the king of Syria. We're talking about the commander of the army of Syria, which isn't God's people from the standpoint of the children of Israel or whatnot. In fact, it was a neighboring country, so it from time to time would be one of the enemies of Israel.
So many times.
Yeah, yeah.
And never helpful to Israel.
That's right.
So
this becomes an interesting story in the dynamic of God is being attributed, rightly so, as giving Syria victories under the command of Naaman. And, you know, that just points back to God wasn't just about the people of Israel. God was over and is over all nations.
Yeah, yeah. And it's cool to study books like Isaiah to see this, because the Assyrian kings, you know, look what I've done. Your God hasn't helped me.
Right.
When it really was God, and what it says here, God was allowing those victories all along.
Yeah, that's right.
He was causing those victories and directing those victories.
Right.
Anyway, that's a tangent. Maybe.
Right. That's our first tangent. No.
But it's important to understand these people. He really had no reason to send Naaman down there except as like a last stitch hope to help this man.
Exactly.
Just, well, what else do we have to lose? We don't have anything to lose by you going.
Right. Right.
So go see what happens.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so being a leper, he recognized, I've got this huge problem in my life, and I'm desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any opportunity for any solution to it, but I'm desperate because it's a death sentence.
Yeah. Do you think this little girl is just there by happenstance?
What little girl?
Well, that little slave girl that mentions here.
Well, yeah, but we haven't read that yet.
I know,
yet.
But I'm just saying that it's kind of interesting, the pieces here we see.
So, yeah, so go ahead and read, since you're given a little bit of the next thing. Read the next couple of verses there.
Just
went
2 through 2 and 3?
Yeah.
Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy."
Okay.
Confident little bugger, isn't she?
That's true. That's right. That's right. But think about it even before that. They had done a raid against Israel, and they had taken her and a number of others captive to be slaves. And what was the attitude? Now, let me go to that key word, I guess.
Towards...
Can you imagine the attitude of the girl to be willing to think of what's in the best interest of this person who had messed up their family life, taken her out of her circumstances, enslaved her, and yet whenever she was in this circumstance, when she heard he's got this problem, she didn't say, "Keep it to myself.
He's going to die.
He's going to die. That's what he deserves." But all that kind of stuff.
When you talk about attitudes of people, though, when you study the attitudes of the real followers of God in the Bible.
Yeah.
Isn't this what we see?
Yeah.
In Daniel?
Yeah.
Joseph?
Right.
All these people, where do we find joy in this life?
Right. Right.
It's with God. It's not with the world.
And
it's
being willing to help people,
no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I heard somebody the other day. I was listening, and I used this in a sermon last week. But he defined love as being willing to love people at your best when they're at their worst, at great personal cost.
Yeah.
And isn't that exactly what God did for us?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And that's what this little girl is doing.
Right.
It's cost her a lot to be here.
Yes, exactly.
But she's loving these people anyway. It's right. Really, there's a case study right there, but that's not...
Well, and so, I mean, let's go ahead and make an application moving forward. A leprosy problem is a physical example of the sin problem that we have.
Yeah.
And we've got a sin problem. Everybody's got a sin problem. It is a death sentence, that's
it is,
right.
Isn't it?
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is...
Death. Seek first, baby.
Seek first. That's right. That's right. And so, from a spiritual standpoint, what she ended up doing was volunteering what she knew about God and about the people of God, this prophet of God who would be able to help.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, you want to call in.
Uh-huh.
The number is 812-365-9864. I'm going to try to do that once in a while. 812-365-9864. You're welcome to call or go to Facebook Live, make a comment, and we'll try to get your comments, your questions answered. Carry on, Mr. Bowditch.
I did
that the other day, and Theron said, "What in the world is Mr. Bowditch?" And Becky showed him the book, and then he sent me a picture of the book. Hey, do you know the book?
No.
Your wife will know the book, so ask her, and she'll pull it off shelf for you.
Anyway, all right, good deal.
You need to read it. It's really good.
All right. Now, here's another quick point, just application for us. This girl ended up not being able to solve the problem herself, but she had the attitude to be able to say, "Here's who you need to go talk to." And so sometimes people feel like, "Hey, I can't teach somebody myself. I don't know enough about the scriptures," whatever like that. "I can't teach somebody." But if you can connect people to people who can help.
Yep.
And so that's connecting to Scott, connecting to me, connecting to whoever can help teach the truth. Then that is you doing your part. She did her part. And then whether or not people react to it and end up trying to sit down and figure out what's going on, that's their own thing. But even that small thing was a beautiful thing to get started.
Yep.
All right. So verse 4 and following, and Naaman went in and told his master. So, They believe the slave girl from Israel, which was a good attitude on their part to say, hey, we'll explore this possibility. Goes in to his master to talk about that, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Israel said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing. That's a lot of support.
He's prepping.
That's right. That's right. How valuable is it to be cured of an incurable disease?
Priceless.
Yeah. And so they are willing to pay a high price in order for this to be done. All right, so then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider how he seeks a quarrel with me.
This is an assumption here.
Yeah.
That this king knows. It's like, since this little girl knows this, it's like everybody knows what to do if you have leprosy or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the king of Israel didn't know what to do.
Right, right. And, well, and here's...
It's just interesting.
Here's another little thing. Maybe when you've been told how to cure something, you need to pay attention to the directions you've been given, because they didn't pay attention to the details. Mm-hmm. And so they just make some assumptions and they go somewhere where they say, well, you know, it's in Israel. Let's go to the king.
Yeah, he's got to know.
Yeah. And so just going anywhere to find the solution isn't going to actually get you the solution. You've got to actually have the details of what God says or does.
See, that sounds a lot like Bible authority, though, John.
Oh, you got that in there, didn't you?
It just sounds a lot like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Because it makes a difference whether or not we simply do something that recognizes God can do it.
Yeah.
Or we actually pay attention to the directions in order to get the proper instructions and all that kind of stuff.
It's interesting. I was speaking with a group about the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
I was speaking with a group about when we're supposed to take it, how we're supposed to do it. And somebody spoke up and said, you know, when we decided when to do this, we never even considered what the Bible said about it.
Right.
I mean, they were doing something good.
Yeah.
But they didn't figure out how God wanted them to do it.
Right. Because they weren't paying attention to the details.
Yeah, the details are here.
Right.
But it's just, that's the way it is with everyone. My son is, he's on this Bible authority thing.
Uh-huh.
And I said something today about maybe getting to speak at another congregation. I said, where would I start? He said, Bible authority. You know, because if we start anywhere else, we're missing the details.
Right, right.
And I don't mean, but that's just something we've got to understand.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
every aspect
right.
of our religious faith and practice has to be based on Bible authority.
Yeah, exactly. And so when she ends up saying, hey, there's a prophet in Israel, if only you could get to the prophet of Israel, when they go to the king, they missed it.
Yeah.
And they weren't doing... And so the king rightfully recognizes, what are they doing here? You know, am I God to be able to do this? He's recognizing this is an impossible task among men.
Yeah.
All right. And so he assumes, he says, you know, they've made these raids before against us or whatnot. He's just picking another fight, and he's making an impossible request. So whenever I send Naaman back with his leprosy and say, I can't do anything about this, he's going to come back and attack us again. Because it is a ridiculous circumstance,
but in the meantime,
verse 8. Go ahead with verse 8.
But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel."
Okay.
But he knows what's happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I find interesting is...
Excuse me.
What I find interesting is God has brought about this set of circumstances. If Naaman hadn't wrongly gone to the king first, then it would have been a private transaction where Naaman would have gone to Elisha. And yes, some people in Syria would have known about it or whatnot, but Israel wouldn't have known about it. But when they ended up messing up and going to the wrong people first because they weren't paying attention to details, it opened up the possibility where everybody in Israel was going to hear what was going on. And you have a case where the king of Israel, who otherwise isn't a wise king, ends up being shown to not have the power that the prophet of God has because God's with the prophet.
I wonder if the king of Israel knew about the power of the prophet prior to this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
like, I wonder how many dots he connected through this process.
Right, right. So, he certainly didn't come up with Elisha being the solution.
No. Yeah. Oh, you got the wrong guy.
You're picking on me. You're going to start a war. I'm not thinking about Elisha being able to be a solution. Yeah. But Elisha sends and says, hey, this, you know, send him to me, and he shall know, and everyone else will know, that there is a prophet in Israel. And so Naaman goes that direction. Verse 9 and following, let's see. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.
Simple enough.
Very simple. He's going, he's at the door, he's at the house.
With some expectations.
With some expectations. He's got some preconceived notions. Well, I mean, this is a tremendous event that's going to happen.
Yeah, it is.
The healing of something that never gets healed. Right? And so he's expecting, okay, this is the prophet of God who has sent this message to the king saying, send him here and I'll take care of it. So he's approaching and all that kind of stuff. And does Elisha come out? No. Elisha just sends a messenger out and says, here's what you need to do. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. The promise is there. The promise is embedded in it.
Yep.
But it is not impressive.
He's offended.
Okay, well, let's look at that. Because, you know, part of the attitude question is...
Now, granted, he's in company with the king. He's a great man back home.
Right.
And he's pretty close to the king back home.
Right.
And he's probably used to some pretty cool stuff happening around
him. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Whenever the king wants something, there's always pageantry around getting it fulfilled. Yeah. And so this is distinctly understated in so many ways. And so the original reaction that comes is verse 11 and following. Go ahead and pick up with verse 11. I don't know. I'll stop you somewhere.
Alrighty. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place and cure the leper.
Alright, I will stop you there.
How's that?
His first reaction, his first attitude, he's furious, angry, furious, right? And went away and said, I thought.
I just connected a dot, but that's fine. Go ahead.
No,
I just laughed out loud because it came to me.
Yeah, go ahead, because I'll come back around.
Well, because when it comes to dipping in water,
yeah,
what is it that causes the most anger with people today?
Yeah. Go ahead.
The necessity of dipping in water.
Right.
It came up at work the other day.
Yeah.
By happenstance that when I had mentioned before about leaving out Bethel, somebody said, well, why? I said, well, it really boils down to Bible authority.
Uh-huh.
Now, what do you mean by Bible authority? I said, well, you know, we say we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent where the Bible's silent. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, let's take baptism. I just said the word baptism.
Yeah.
I didn't say whether it was essential or not. I didn't. And quills popped out on people. They got really defensive. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say anything about the necessity or lack of necessity thereof.
Right.
It caused this reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
With people. I don't know that the Bible is any more clear on any subject.
Yeah,
than it is on baptism.
It's really not, yeah.
And then you have to, that's why I said take the veil out off your eyes. You got to get the veil of Calvinism off your face mm-hmm. so you can see clearly what the Bible does say.
Yeah.
And that's what Naaman had a veil in front of his face of expectations that he wanted to have happen that didn't happen.
Right.
And he read this whole situation through this cloud, and it wasn't clear to him.
And what I want to appeal to anyone and everyone looking at this as an example is we all naturally will have a first reaction.
Yep.
And it's understandable if mm-hmm. what you're being told now is different from either whatever your impressions are or yep. maybe in our case nowadays what you've been taught by somebody before.
Yep.
Your first reaction when you hear the truth and how simple it is and how basic it is, a lot of times is, but I thought, either because of your own impression or because of what somebody's told you. Mm-hmm. And so it's natural to work through that reaction and have a reaction that is a struggle.
Yeah.
Okay? But what's really impressive is that initial reaction was able to be appealed to eventually, and then he ended up changing his attitude yep. in the long run. I'm giving it away a little bit, but we'll get to it.
Yeah,
in
we have to ask the question, what is it about the situation that's making us angry?
Right.
Is it because it's not true?
Right.
Or is it different than what we, is it just not what we expected?
Right.
Not what we want? We have to ask what it is so we can deal properly with that.
Right.
Because if it's not true, then that's righteous indignation. We shouldn't be right. angry about it.
Yeah, because we're being lied to at yeah. the time. Right.
But if it is, what you're hearing is true, and it's just different than what you understand, then you'd have to,
right.
again, go back and appeal to that first reaction, say, okay, what are you angry about?
Right, right.
And if we get people to calmly assess that,
yeah.
which happens here, it's pretty cool what they say.
I know, yeah.
But it's no different than what we've got to deal with. Any truth, any truth we deal with, it's going to be the same thing.
So, before we move on, let's just lay that out for how this applies today.
By the way, 812-365-9864 is the number here at the station. 812-365-9864, or go to Facebook Live, make a comment. Carry on.
I went to Facebook comment.
Uh-oh.
Christine Woodall says, look, when you had leprosy, you are put out from the community. Sin is like leprosy, it needs to be made clean by obedience, or
correct.
You are not in fellowship with Christ and not in His kingdom.
Yeah.
True that.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Mm-hmm.
And we'll eventually work our way around to that discussion.
That's right.
I'm just
that's
guessing.
Right. So, totally agree.
Yeah,
totally
absolutely.
Agree. That's
thank
exactly,
you for your comment.
That's exactly correct. And, actually, we're about to hit the... Oh, we got, 30 seconds before we hit that?
Yes.
The top
all
of the
right.
hour.
So, we're about to hit the top of the hour. What we're going to do after the top of the hour is we're going to go ahead and lay out briefly some passages to point out what God has said to do with the sin problem mm-hmm. that is our problem. And then we'll come back and see how Naaman's reaction is corrected.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
That is great. That is great. Thank you, Matt. Okay. We have a sin problem. And everyone needs to come to that recognition. When you have leprosy, it is, easier to recognize or have to deal with that reality. But the fact is, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so we have to, any and every person who wants to be cured of sin, has to first hear and understand the message of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And that's talked about in Romans 10, verse 17. And I'm going to mention these passages briefly. Please catch them and look them up soon in the future.
Sir. Romans 10, 17.
Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we've got to respect the Word of God. And we've got to hear, read, listen, understand, absorb the Word of God.
Which Paul points in Ephesians 1, he says, when you read and understand, that you believe.
Right.
And that's the same thing. That's a principle that's taught.
Right.
It's not like a supernatural shot.
Exactly.
It's just the reading, Paul, and understanding and hearing and applying and...
Ephesians 3:3-5, I think it is, Paul says, I'm writing so that when you read, you can understand his understanding of the mystery of Christ. And so, from hearing, we need to believe that message, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he came in the flesh as the Son of God. He died in the sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. You have to have a fundamental belief. But where it starts to get people's reaction is sometimes people say, but I thought John 3:16 means the only thing I have to do is believe. But Jesus says in a number of places, but one place, Jesus says, Luke 13, verse 3, ends up saying, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Yeah. And I like what he says in John.
Yeah, go ahead.
Unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins.
Yeah,
that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, that's
Luke 6:46.
Right.
John 14:15.
Right.
John 15:14. All these.
Grab all these passages.
Anyway, there's a bunch. Jesus says, you're my friend if you do what I say.
Okay, there's an obedience element.
You believe.
If you love me, you will
keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. John 14 and 15 talk about that a lot,
and
right?
Then John 15:14.
Yeah.
Several verses in between.
Right.
14:21 and 14:23, they all say the same thing.
Right. And so some people end up initially hearing, wait a minute, we have to repent, or in some other way there's some obedience element that we have to submit to. And their reaction is to be upset about that.
Yeah.
And to say, but I thought that John 3:16 tells me the only thing to do is believe, and anything else, because people have been taught sometimes, anything else would be earning salvation.
Or,
no, it won't be earning salvation. To simply submit to the will of God. If we then they need to look at Luke 17 verses 7 through 10.
Yeah.
Because Luke 17 verses 7 through 10, Jesus gives an illustration of if you're a servant of God, and God ends up, a master commands a servant to do this and that and the other and all that kind of stuff, at the end of the day, the reaction of the servant is, I've simply done what was my duty to do. It's not as if I can boast about anything and all that kind of stuff.
It's interesting, too, when you read verse 10, you can't say that. I'm just an unworthy servant.
Yeah.
Until you've done everything.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
Because the way in verse 10 reads, he's done all these things.
Because
after I've done it all, I'm just an unworthy servant.
Because if the master has commanded us to do things, and he has, that illustration didn't even talk about when that servant doesn't obey the command of the master. Yeah, but
and we're just
everything
trying to, we're
is
trying
being
to look,
done.
And you mentioned in the hallway, you're trying to look at this in a positive,
the
positive attitudes we see here.
Right.
Well, let's follow. Let's do what the positive attitudes do.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so when his first reaction, by the way, hear the word of God, come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, and confess Jesus as the Christ. Romans 10:9 and 10 talk about belief and confession together.
Yep.
And then the other real sticking point that people have where they react so strongly against it goes back to what you were talking about before.
Dip it in the water.
Which is, God has commanded, and we go specifically to the command, the very first gospel sermon,
yep.
Acts 2 in verse 7:38, when they were convicted of having crucified the Christ, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's got to be what's believed, and he's pointing to the reality of the resurrection of Jesus as the final proof of that.
Yep.
And they're convicted of having put to death the Son of God. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent." After this belief, here's repent that is part of it. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Why? For what?
For the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins in some translations.
Yep.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he continues to exhort them, be saved from this perverse generation. And what was the reaction of those with a proper attitude? Those with the proper attitude ended up reacting in verse 31. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized.
Yep.
And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. They were baptized immediately.
Yep.
That day, in response, once they came to a proper disposition, attitude, frame of thought, they were commanded, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins.
I'm going to step away just a second. You keep talking.
All right, all right. Oh no, now I'm nervous because I'm all alone. No, not really. Everything's okay. Actually, I am a little bit. That's weird. But anyway, so the Acts 2:38 answer is not what is taught in so many denominations today. And I want to be gentle about saying that. I don't want to say it in a harsh way, but I have to be clear to say there are so many denominations that teach a different path than the simple path that the scriptures reveal, not only in Acts 2:38, but in so many other passages. And so if one, for instance, if one has been taught by the Baptist tradition, they have been taught that the person who should be baptized is the person who's already saved, who's already been forgiven.
So the question becomes, then, if baptism comes after salvation, can you be saved and still have your sins?
Right.
By the definition of what we were given in, there in Acts 2 and also in Acts 22:16, where Paul explains his conversion.
Yeah.
He's told,
what does Acts 22:16 say?
Well, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins.
Calling on the name of the Lord. That's right.
How do you, if you can be saved with your sins still attached, then why did Jesus die on the cross?
Yeah.
The whole
point of that is this. The claim that people make is, I have been saved from my sins, but baptism wasn't involved. But
then
that's
how were your sins washed away?
Right, right. Because, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And here's the thing. He had been praying and fasting for 3 days. And so saying the sinner's prayer is a lot shorter than 3 days of praying and fasting. And at the end of 3 days of praying and fasting, when he was told the rest of what he needed to do, it was be baptized and wash away your sins. And so those claims of the sinner's prayer or anything else, where salvation is different from the path that the Bible says, has assured people of something that they don't have any assurance from Scriptures. It's not the truth.
Mm-hmm. Which is missing the details.
Which is missing the details. It's going to the king and expecting the king to do something. Yeah. Thankfully for Naaman, the king said, I can't do this. Unfortunately, people have been deceived into this other thought process. Go ahead.
The answer of what a work is, which is a discussion we've got to have.
Yeah.
Which we don't have time to have right now,
yeah,
necessarily. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2,
yeah,
and you know this.
Uh-huh. That's what I was turning to. Yeah,
they're good. The truth is the truth, if you start, just read the whole chapter, but you start in verse 8, you've got grace and faith and works all mentioned in 8, 9, and 10.
Right.
But there's a comparison between works and good works. We see the word works used that way. Yeah. It's in reference to Old Testament tradition of things. And to get the understanding, you have to jump up to verse 11 and start reading the rest of Ephesians to see what those works were that they weren't to be involved in anymore.
Gotcha.
You got to study Ephesians chapter 2. I think Ephesians chapter 2 does a good job of explaining the difference between those works and good works.
Well, and let me add to that and simply say this. So many people in many religious traditions have been taught Ephesians 2, 8, and 9.
Yep.
And because of the way it's been taught, you're not even aware that verse 10 exists.
Yeah. That's true.
And if you see the context, mm-hmm, by going and reading it for yourself and seeing that verse 10 exists, you end up saying, okay, well, it's saying not of works lest anyone should boast, but then it talks about the works that God's prepared that we should walk in.
Then you get into Galatians 5 and fruits of the Spirit, but that's exciting talk.
I know. But the fact is, what I wanted to trigger is this. I wanted to raise questions in your mind,
yes,
that you will come to ask Scott or come and ask me.
Or ask somebody. Call me and I'll get you to somebody.
Because if you've been taught Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and maybe you've even memorized Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but
verses,
you don't know what Ephesians 2, 10 says, then you haven't been taught the whole truth, and what conclusion you've been given is
verse 10?
Yeah, please do.
It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
There are things that God wants us to do, and so if you've been given an impression out of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 by itself,
yep,
then that is a false impression because you don't know about verse 10. And you need to find someone who respects that whole context and be taught more accurately the way
that
things.
That idea of the whole context, again, I mean, I don't want to, we've hit on this pretty good, but we've got to read what the Bible says about a subject.
Right.
Everything that what the Bible says about a subject. We can't just take 8 and 9 out of Ephesians 2, hang your hat on that, and ignore everything else the Bible says, which goes back to your idea of not nuking one verse with another Bible verse.
You have to find the balance.
Bible balance.
That's right. You have to find the balance in order to not take a verse to go into an extreme.
Yeah.
And get away from the truth of God. Okay, so, let's go ahead.
So we go back to 2 Kings 5.
Yes, yes.
Had Naaman not dipped into Jordan 7 times, would he have left Israel healed?
That is a great question that we'll get to in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Where we're going.
Be thinking about
that's right.
That.
That's right. That, but you just gave away that he got healed. People may not even know.
No, I said, would he ever not?
That's right. That's a good thing. Let's come back around to that.
Actually do what he was asked to do?
Let's see.
Let's find out. In the meantime.
Here's part of his frustration and upset when he initially heard what seemed too simple and ridiculous and wasn't grand fanfare and all this kind of stuff. He ends up saying, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went. He turned and went away in a rage.
812-365-9864 or 812-620-4034 for contact information, or go to Facebook Live.
All right.
812-365-9864. Go on.
Man, he knows these numbers. That's awesome. That's great. Okay.
I'm a teacher.
That's what good. That's good.
My wife's better with numbers than I am, however.
All right. So he's still angry and upset, and he starts to think about any and all different ways that he could just immediately think of that would be a better solution than what he heard.
Yeah.
Okay? And so he says, I got better, cleaner water. This is like go into the Ohio River and dip in the water in the Ohio River. And, hey, looky there.
Hello. Oh. Oh, hey, Rayetta. I'm glad you called.
We have a caller.
Well, good. I'm glad you have any. You have any? Any? She just said she's really enjoying the show.
All right. Very good. Very good.
So, Brad, I'm glad you called, sweetie. Thank you. I will do that.
We will pause for this moment.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I will do that. Thank you, man. Love you too. Thank you. Bye-bye. She said thank you for calling her yesterday.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, we had a good conversation.
She's missed us and just wanted to say thank you for the work we're doing.
Oh, that's so very sweet.
That's pretty cool. So we have a listener, so that's good.
We love Rayetta.
We do indeed. Sincere heart.
You know what? Every time that I've talked with Rayetta and heard about things with Rayetta, I just remember how she always comes back to... if it's in the Bible, that's what I need to change to.
She has said many times.
Yeah.
Well, even at times, well, that is what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And it's just that simple.
And the humble heart, whenever she's shown anything from the Scripture that is different from whatever she may have been taught before.
Mm-hmm. And she's been shown some stuff.
And she has changed and moved toward whatever the Scriptures say because she knows and trusts God's Word.
Yep.
And so I appreciate it. Yep. Thank you, Rayetta, for calling in. And
hey, the phone works.
That's right. That's great. That's great. Okay, so he wants a different way. He's looking for an alternative way.
Yeah.
But in the midst of this, he understands that when it's specified, go to the Jordan River, he understands that going to a different river would be a change and wasn't what was commanded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so the specifics of go dip in the Jordan seven times, one of his frustrations is, why can't I go to a different river? Mm-hmm. Even if I'm doing whatever the dipping process is, why can't I go to a clean river? I got a better river up there in Syria than the muddy Jordan down here, or whatever his concern might have been about the Jordan. But he understood that the specifics of the command were such, he needed to, if he was going to do what he was told, dip seven times, but also it had to be in the Jordan River.
And even when I read through this again, either last night or day before, as you told me, as I read through this three or four times, these different things keep coming up. But this verse, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps.
Right.
That's Jeremiah 10:23.
Yeah.
And that's what we see. There's got to be a better solution to this.
That's right. That's right. And so he's fighting against it. And there are lots of people who, when they immediately see repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, their immediate reaction is, but... and to fight against it. And so he's talking it through, and he says, wouldn't there be some great thing I read that previous verse where wouldn't there be some great thing where he's going to wave his hand over the place, make some big deal about it or whatnot like that, and that kind of thing? Or if I'm going to have to dip in the water, can't I substitute this? Can't I change this? Can't I change that? And all that kind of stuff. The salvation that comes from God is super simple and very direct and plain.
Yep.
And either we continue to hold on to this, I want to substitute and make it something else,
yep,
or I want to have something more grand and something that feels more spiritually whatever.
Yep.
And those are the temptations that people have.
The thing that it happened to me not very, somebody said, look, if I'm doing something good and it feels right,
yeah,
what could be wrong with it?
If it feels right?
You know, it's something good, and you know, we're doing a good thing.
Right.
So what difference does it make how we do it?
Yeah. Well, it's one's conscience isn't the only thing. Mm-hmm. Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. And when he was Saul, he thought he was serving God by persecuting Christians.
He was still very sincere.
He was totally sincere, and he would have been able
conscience.
To... Yeah. He would have been able to look at some Old Testament passages and thought he was applying them properly. But he was diametrically opposed to what God had actually revealed. And as a result, he wasn't pleasing to God until he had humbled himself and arose and was baptized and washed away his sins and called on the name of the Lord in that way.
You know, Romans chapter 6.
That's right. So, that's right.
It's such a beautiful text. Anyway.
Yeah, Romans 6. Romans 6. Read the first part of Romans 6 about the role of baptism in salvation.
And again, I know this causes concern in people to talk about baptism this way.
I know.
I don't expect the radio program or the Facebook Live page or whatever you call that to change people's minds instantly.
Right.
What I want people to do is open their Bibles and just read, simply read what it says. Don't forget about everything you think it says and just read what it actually says.
Right, right.
It is inescapable to see what the Bible actually says. And don't just have one guy go to Mark's telling me baptism wasn't essential for salvation.
Yeah.
He said, let's go to Mark 16:16.
Yeah.
I said, well, let's do.
Yeah.
He read it and said, that's not what it means.
Right.
Because the second half of the verse undoes... people come up with all kinds of twisted ways to try to change this.
Right.
Just like Naaman was doing. There's got to be a different way. Doesn't mean this. It does mean what it says.
And I totally sympathize.
Yeah.
And rather than beating you up...
Yeah, I don't want to...
What we want to do is we want to appeal to you.
Yes.
In order to get you to study it further and think about things. In the same way that, listen, this is the type of appeal that we want to do in order to help that attitude be able to turn.
Yep.
Right? And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Mm-hmm. How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? And so the gentle appeal was, look, if you had been told to do some very difficult, arduous task, by the way, that would have almost felt like you earned salvation if you did some great thing or some difficult thing.
This, the English Standard reads just slightly differently,
okay.
Same point, but what he says is, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you.
Oh, okay.
Will you not do it? He says, look, he said something really cool. If you'll just dip in the water.
Yeah.
If you'll just
do it. That's interesting.
The same appeal.
Yeah.
But a slightly different rendering of what they say. You know.
He says, and so he's slowing people down.
Yeah.
He's slowing Naaman down and saying, think about this. God has offered you a very simple way to be saved from death.
Yep. What do you have to lose?
Why not just do it?
Yeah.
Why not? And what? Wash and be clean.
Yeah.
And when he calms down and he listens to a gentle appeal, wash and be clean.
Yep. Now,
then what's it? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just my appeal to people out there.
Yeah.
Who have tried everything else.
Yeah.
Their lives, and some people's lives are in a shambles.
Yeah.
If you've tried everything else.
Yeah.
What do you have to lose by picking up a Bible?
Uh huh.
And reading what God has said.
That's right.
I mean, he said a great thing. If you'll believe in my Son, you'll be saved from your sin.
Yeah.
Why not give it a shot?
That's right. It's
all. Which is exactly what I mean. I just picked it up because somebody said, hey, you want to study? I'm like, well, I guess.
Right.
I wouldn't sincerely even seek him
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pick it up and read it.
And that's the
it's
appeal
a simple thing.
Is, first of all, would you like to just simply talk about the Bible and find out what the Bible is teaching? And are you interested in, would you be willing to have a respectful discussion?
Yeah. And we can talk about obstacles.
Yeah.
Right now, what I was going to talk about today was this geologic timescale, and Begin talks about creation, evolution, design.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the kids right now are learning about this geologic timescale.
Yeah.
Which is a huge lie.
Right.
And I can show you evidence to prove that it's a lie.
Right.
And
that's
what I've done. At some point in the near future, I'm going to start that.
That's good.
Can't do it all in one show.
That's right.
But that's an obstacle to people.
That is.
Sometimes it's hypocrisy in people that is an obstacle.
Right.
To people. Sometimes it's, if there is a God, he wouldn't let all these bad things happen to the world. That's an obstacle to people.
Right.
We can talk about all those things.
Yeah. And kind of remove those
veils of that blur our vision.
Yeah. Whether on the program or individually.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's start having those conversations. That's right. That's right. So let's see what happens when he's appealed to in this gentle way of this, hey, this is a great thing. This is a simple thing to do. Why not just wash and be clean the way God says? So he went down. He went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan. Those are the details that he was doing exactly like he was commanded. And when he did exactly what was commanded of him, what did God do for him? Because it says, he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God.
We're almost out of time.
I know.
Anyway.
It's time to wrap this up, right? According to the saying of the man of God, the man was saying what God's word, what God's will was. So he did exactly what God said, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Was he able to say, at that point, to say, I earned salvation from my leprosy? No.
No.
Because all he did was dip in the water. All he did was what God had prepared as a work for him to do.
Yep.
Who cleansed him from his leprosy?
God did.
God did. When he humbled his heart and had the proper attitude, and he humbled his heart and was willing to dip in water the way God had commanded him there, then he was able to be healed by God.
Yep.
And when we submit to repenting, changing from whatever we thought it was before, and we actually change and submit to God's will, and we repent and we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the right reason, for the remission of sins, God's the one who does the spiritual healing and saves us from our sins.
You know, if I could rewind a time, to a moment, I was in Mississippi with Simon Harris and studying with, he went to a jail and was studying with some prisoners.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in this circle of guys and we're studying. Of course, I wasn't leading the study and I wasn't the same Christian I am today. I would have handled it differently. At the instance where the girl reaches out and touches with the bleeding issue, she touched the hem of his garment.
Yeah.
The man sitting in that circle said, man, I wish I could touch Jesus. And I so wish I'd have stopped the study and said, you can't.
Oh, yeah.
You can come in contact with the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because the Bible tells us we can.
Right.
Folks, you can do this.
Yeah.
We've got to stop overcomplicating Christianity.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got it so mixed up, and it's so confusing.
Right.
And it should not be. It does not need to be confusing.
The confusion comes from all of the wrong things that are taught.
Yep. And, you know, I'm studying.
The truth is simple.
It's very simple. You know, I studied with David Plummer, and he says, I know I was lied to because I can read.
Yeah.
And that's as simple as it gets, but there's, I know you're going someplace.
Yeah.
And I've got someplace I want to go to. Okay. What did you open to?
Well, you ended up saying you can touch Jesus.
Absolutely,
you can touch the blood. You have contact with the blood that is. And I just want to make this connection, because this connection is parallel to what that God has provided, the sacrifice of His Son.
Yep.
And then we have a responsibility to respond.
Yep.
And so see the parallel of what God has done for us that's given in Matthew 26, verse 28. And we'll see the parallel to Acts 2, verse 38.
Yeah.
Because Jesus, in instituting the Lord's Supper, he ends up saying about his blood, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." His blood is shed for the remission of sins. That's something that Jesus did for us that we can't... I mean, that gives us access. Mm-hmm. But while Jesus shed His blood for the remission of sins, what are we to do in response? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the same thing.
Yep.
For the remission of sins. And so that is God's action and our humble response. Yeah.
And the result will be in contact with you. In fact, go back to Romans 6 again.
Yeah, Romans 6.
And verse 5 says, "For we have been," after it talks about we've been buried with him through a baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
Yeah.
"For we have been united with him in a death like his." We've come into contact with him. We've been united with him.
That's right.
Through this process.
That's right.
We can touch Jesus.
That's it.
So I'm not necessarily in closing. I don't know. I'll let you close this thing out probably.
Okay.
For some reason, I've gotten hooked on a certain verse in Isaiah.
Okay.
And I think it answers the challenge to people that where are our minds stayed? Where are we focused? 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because you trust in him. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is an everlasting rock." Hmm. If you stay your mind, your heart on finding out who God is, and forget about maintaining an affiliation with whatever teaching you've had, with whatever creed book you've been reading, with whatever you... Stay your mind on knowing who God is first.
Yeah.
Everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So
that's right.
How do you want to close this thing out, John? Because we're out of time.
Well, yeah, one last passage to round the curve and head for home.
Yeah.
You're probably still struggling with, but I've always been taught this way.
Yeah.
And I've always thought such and such, this, that, or the other. What matters is what the Bible actually teaches. And there's an appeal in Isaiah as well. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 55... Yep. He ends up saying, verse 8 and following, God says, pay attention to me instead of whatever you've been thinking the whole time. He's me being God. He says, "For my thoughts," God's thoughts, "are not your thoughts." If we're still struggling with, but I thought, God's thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, God's ways, says the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so, will we humble ourselves to step away from "I thought," to listen to the simple, so easy, simple way in which we're supposed to submit our will to His, and trust in His promise that through such a simple response, God will do his part and heal us of our sin, and we will have a right relationship. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Let's submit to what God's word says.
Yep. If you're so inclined to pray for people out there, Rayetta asked that we pray for her and her family. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for Betty Bennett. I've been studying Isaiah with her, and she's got she sincerely wants to know the truth, and she wants to find the right place to help her do that. And I've got my mark prayer in Isaiah 41 next time I sit down with her.
Yeah.
I pray for Betty. Pray for the people out of Bethel that they will continue to study.
Yeah.
And find the rest of the truth.
Right.
That's all I want for anybody.
Yeah.
And if you need prayers for people, get on Facebook Live, tell us who they are, and we'll pray for them.
Yeah.
And pray for this show that we'll reach somebody.
Right. Right.
That's
right. And if you have any questions whatsoever, ask Scott, ask me.
Yep.
We can get you in touch with whoever would be helpful. Wherever if we can't help you, we can get you in touch with whoever can be helpful to be able to answer your questions.
Again, phone number, I'll let him give you your phone number too. Yep. My phone number, again, is 812-620-4034, or call the Crawford County Middle School, or put a note on my truck in the parking lot. But whatever, however you want to get a hold of me, do that, or through Facebook Live. And what's your phone number?
502-645-3098.
Which you get a mass phone number, too. No, I'm just...
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And let me say, sometimes I'm working over here on this side of the river in southern Indiana, and other times I'm working over in Louisville where I live. And so hopefully I can be available on either side of the river a little bit to help out.
So anyway, God bless you all. Thanks for your time. John, thanks for coming. Matt, thanks for coming. Theron, if you're listening, thanks for all you do.
Yes.
There have been a lot of people have a hand in this. Sean, Scott, thanks for letting us be on.
And thank you, Chris, for the idea for the lesson for today.
It's just a good opportunity that, we just want to help people. That's all.
Right.
We just want to help people.
That's right.
So hopefully we've done a little bit of good, no harm.
That's right.
And love all of you. Matt, thanks again. And
let the Bible speak.
Let the Bible speak, folks. Love all of you. Thank you very much.